Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Connecting Atlanta Radio. The host of Connecting Atlanta Radio, Jacqueline H. Waller, interviews positive business owners making a difference in their communities. Connecting Atlanta helps business owners connect, educate, and expand their business through business events, educational webinars, and annual summits. You can catch Connecting Atlanta Radio every Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern. Now, Connecting Atlanta Radio.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the show, everyone. Thank you so much for calling in and listening in today. We have a very, very special guest, Ms. Aretha Cleveland, who won both the battle and the war the day she showed up for her first speaking engagement. She is determined that if she had to speak to herself, she would. Thankfully, almost 7 years later, she's never had to speak without an audience. Thank God. But meet the acclaimed creator and founder of Winning the Battles in Your Mind, the nonprofit organization and teaching strategy. Welcome, Aretha. We're happy to have you.
Thank you for having me tonight.
Yes, it's definitely an awesome opportunity. We've been connected on my group and then Facebook for a while. So tell us a little bit about what brought you to starting your nonprofit, Winning the Battles in Your Mind, and out of all the illnesses and so forth out there and things that people are overcoming, what made you decide to focus on sickle cell anemia?
Well, I started Winning the Battles in Your Mind because I woke up with that thought in my mind. I woke up and I told my husband that I was going to do a organization. It was going to be titled Winning the Battles in Your Mind, and I told him what it was going to be. And when morning finally came, because it was early in the morning, I went forth with doing everything I needed to do to make that happen, because I wanted to make a difference. I wanted to have a voice in the community for people who didn't have a voice. And the reason I chose sickle cell is because I lost a cousin to sickle cell, and she left behind two babies to be reared by her husband. But not only that, because we're always, as a community, as a nation, we talk about what people should do, and we exclude ourselves only other than in the conversation. So what I've always been an advocate of, action and not just words. So that's why I chose sickle cell, because sickle cell, they say hypertension is a silent killer, but sickle cell seems to be a silent killer that the communities, the nation, don't want to have a voice for. So I decided to have a voice for sickle cell.
Okay. And I have a friend of mine whose daughter has sickle cell anemia, and she... And her daughter is a survivor of it, and so she's really had to – her daughter's going to be going off to college next year, so she's really had to raise her up to know when she has her issues, how to take care of it and go to the hospital and really stay strength with that. So how does what's the correlation between your nonprofit and the disease? Like, do you guys raise – funds for it? Are you guys, like, what exactly do you guys do? I don't want to put words in your mouth.
Well, when I started to start doing the different events for, because I started out saying I wanted to do events for children with life-threatening diseases, and I chose children because I have 10 grandchildren. So what better to advocate?
Wow, you look fantastic.
Thank you. And that's why I chose children. The first year I did cancer. And then the next year when I was on stage, they asked what would be the next disease, and I said sickle cell. So when I did sickle cell last year, Jacqueline, I had just lost my son to a murder, and I didn't feel that I gave sickle cell 100% what was in me. So that's why I did sickle cell again this year, to make sure that I could really give it the due diligence. But as I began to do sickle cell, I saw that there wasn't a voice. I saw that there were people out there. I started communicating with mothers, and I started seeing babies dying, and I started seeing people going through, from adults to children, the things they were going through. And I started listening to posts and listening to people when they were saying that no one was there when I would speak to a parent, and they said, well, when we go to the hospital with our children, we have to pay for parking, we have to pay for food. Well, I worked in healthcare for 29 years, and if your child had cancer, you didn't pay for anything because so many people advocate for
cancer.
But there's not a lot of people who advocate for sickle cell. And so I said, okay, you know what? This is where I need to be. This is where I need to put my focus on sickle cell so that I can make a difference in the community of the lives of the sickle cell warriors because they deserve to be heard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's a lifelong disease that they have to battle their whole lives and work to overcome, you know? And they don't. There's no apparent cure for it at this point in time.
And a lot of times, even with that, you know, you can get a bone marrow transplant. But sickle cell is predominantly a disease that hits the African-American race. And Visa matches one of the world's largest donor registries. But guess who's underrepresented on that registry? We are. Because we won't sign up. It's like we won't go and we won't donate blood. We won't sign up. And I advocate that in every event that I have Visa match there. When I'm on the radio program, I just really put it out there. If you're between the ages of 18 and 44, please sign up. I mean, one out of 540 is ever a match. So if I tell people, think about it was you. If you've been diagnosed with sickle cell anemia and your only hope for a cure is a bone marrow transplant, and look at the fact now your hands are in the life of a stranger and you're underrepresented.
Mm-hmm.
There's no one in your ethnic background who is signing up. So, again, that's another reason to advocate and be the voice. And I try to pull in all of my social media pages and my website and all my speaking engagements, I really try to voice how important it is. Some people tell me sickle cell still exists, and I was like, sure, where have you been? It's not going away.
Right. So there is a cure, like if you have like a bone marrow transplant?
Yes, it's a possible cure. Some people have had bone marrow transplant, and the bone marrow transplant didn't work. Last year at Igala, we had a young lady. She was Haitian, and she had a two-year-old sister who was a perfect match. She had her bone marrow transplant, and she's cured. And then we have had people that had bone marrow transplants. They didn't work. So they have a better chance if it's a sibling, if it's someone in their family member. But now, when I was at the state capitol couple of months, they had a young lady there who had a bone marrow transplant for someone who was not even related, and it was a cure.
What about, since you were in the healthcare industry, what about a lot of stuff with, now, sickle cell, you're born with that, right? Is that correct?
Yes.
You are, okay.
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. So what about, like, with, like, stem cell research and, like, because I know I don't really understand the whole thing behind stem cells, but what about stuff with, like with the stem cell research and providing new, is it not an attack on your cells, I guess? It's an attack on your bones? Is that why with the bone marrow transplant, that's what cures it?
It's actually a blood disease. And what happens in that blood disease, when you... If you have betrayed or if you have sickle cell disease, what can happen is your red blood cells, which are normally is in an oval shape, they can start sickling. And if they do, that's what causes pain crisis. And so they're not allowed to flow through as regular red blood cells are. But again, what is happening, Jacqueline, is a lot of people don't know that they have betrayed because they wasn't tested. I've met a couple of parents that said they didn't know they had a trait until they were married and they had a baby and their baby was diagnosed with sickle cell. That's when they realized that they had a trait. So, again, I am also advocating asking people to get tested. If when you were born, if they was not doing any type of testing, get tested. Because if you are planning on getting married, you're planning on having children, and you still may find out you carry the trait and still want to still get married and have children. But at least you'll know what you're thinking.
Mm-hmm.
That way you can get educated, you'll know more about it. It's not something that you can prevent because sometimes you can have the trait and your husband can have the trait. And you may have a child that doesn't have the trait or any sign of sickle cell. You may have a child that has sickle cell, and then you may have a child that has the trait. So, again, that's not determined. But at least you'll know that I carry the trait, so when I get married and I decide to have children, there's a possibility what could be. Instead of having a baby, having your baby tested, and now your baby, you've been told that your baby has sickle cell anemia, and you're wondering, wow, what happened? I didn't even know I had the trait. So, again, just like sickle cell doesn't have a voice, at one point in time there was no testing, and what do you do from that point? So if you got somebody coming, I know that if you're a friend on my Facebook page, if you're a friend on LinkedIn with me, on Google Plus, on Twitter, you're going to see a million posts a day talking about sickle cell, talking about the events that we're hosting for sickle cell, because we're really working hard to advocate. I'm on WYZE every Saturday at 12 noon for an hour talking about sickle cell. I'm pounding the pavement, asking everyone who, let me on your show, let me on your TV program, let's get this out here. I'm asking people, please volunteer, please join in with me, because our babies are dying. And you may, some people may look at them, well, they're not actually like children, but they're our future. They could be the next president. They could be something that we could possibly help out with instead of turning our heads to the situation.
So with so if someone wanted to come out and volunteer or do something for with your nonprofit for this cause, and I'd like to know what some other things that is that you do with Winning the Battles in Your Mind and with your show and all that that you have in the mornings. But if someone wanted to come out and volunteer or donate or learn more about what you guys are doing, how would they be able to do that?
They can email me, call me. They could actually do any of my social media sites, and I'll give that information. All they have to do is contact me. And what I do is I ask a series of questions, because I like when people volunteer, I like to put them in an area that they're comfortable in. So, therefore, if they call and say, wherever you put me, I'm okay, that's fine. But if they say I like administrative work, if they like action like I do and they don't mind pounding the pavement, I'm like, okay, come out with me to do the different things. But we don't turn anybody down that wants to volunteer and help in anything, because not only do we advocate and educate about sickle cell and children battling life-threatening disease, we also offer educational services. Because like with sickle cell, the children are in and out of the hospital sometime every month, sometime every other month. So they're missing a lot of schooling. And when they're missing schooling, they're getting behind in their work. So we're getting with the parents, and we're getting their school work, and we're getting interns, and according to how the child is feeling, we're going to their homes, or we're going in the hospital, so we can help them with those educational services so they won't be left behind. We're trying to do the things that most nonprofits or people who are raising funds may not be doing. Like when we raise funds, what we do, instead of donating to research, parents are in the hospital so much. If there's a two-parent home, one of the parents are normally quitting their job. So when they're struggling, they're already dealing with the fact, I have a sick child. And now they're dealing with the fact, how am I going to pay my utilities? How am I going to pay my mortgage? How am I going to get prescription meds? How am I going to have gas to keep going back and forth to the doctor, or even just parking a deck when I'm at the hospital for 3 weeks? They reach out to us, and when they reach out to us, all they have to do is give us something in writing from their doctor that their child carried the disease, and give us that, whatever that bill is. And if we have the funding, what we do is we pay that bill for them directly. That's another one of the services that we offer. Because we don't want – have you ever been to an event, and I'm asking this question, and it was a fundraiser. We'll say it's a fundraiser for sickle cell or cancer. Have you ever been to that event and it has been – have the actual children and the families there? Or normally when you go to the event, they're raising funds, it's the community there, and everybody's there having a good time, and there's a silent auction or whatever. But what Winning the Battles do, we do something a little different. We have the families involved, like with the gala. We have children that actually have a disease, and they are the fashion show. Those children are coming out, and what they're doing is they're showing the community, they're showing the nation, they're showing everybody who purchased a ticket to come out and support them, look at me. I may have been born with this disease, and I may battle this disease, but I am a child. I have smiles. I have goals, I have visions. And in so many words, they demonstrate their talent saying, thank you for caring. So that's the difference what Women in the Battles do. Not only do we help them out financially and education-wise, but it's like a Cinderella or a Prince Charming day for them. We get them totally involved. When you come to the gala or any of our events, we make it about them. So when celebrities reach out to us and say, hey, I would like to perform, we was like, you can come, but it's not about you tonight. It's about these babies. And this year we have 12 children that have sickle cell from the ages of 5 to 20 that will be models in our fashion show. So we're very excited.
That's awesome. And so you have, let's see here, you have something coming up this month on March 29th, on Sunday, March 29th. Donation is $10 at the door, and that is at Kingdom Advancement Ministries, Concert with a Cause, hosted by Rodell Lewis.
Well, we actually had to change that location. I hate to interrupt you, Jacqueline, but what we did is the location that we originally had that at, we end up having to change it to a new location. So actually now, we will actually have that event at, I should have had that ready to to give to you, because it was all of a sudden we was like, okay, we have to change this. We had to move it to another location. But thank God that
you guys got so many individuals. Yeah, that's awesome. You guys had so many people coming out, you had to go to a bigger location.
Yes, exactly. We're having it at Dr. Sterling United Methodist Church, and that's at 3272 Browns Mill Road, Southeast Atlanta, Georgia. Again, that's Dr. Sterling United Methodist Church at 3272 Browns Mill Road. So we definitely, yes, we
awesome,
have,
awesome, awesome.
People are reaching out and wanting to know how to be
up,
a part of it. Exactly.
And then the next one we have is, let's see here. The next one, you have one coming up in April, right?
That's April 28th.
April 28th. Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be
held at
the
Commerce
Club.
Tell us a little bit about that. That's raising,
Yes,
okay.
With the Commerce Club,
I'm
what they
that
do.
Event.
Yes, when you are a member at the Commerce Club and you have a 501c3, they'll allow you to have a fundraiser once a year, and they donate 50% of the cash bar to you. And what that is a network.
Yeah.
And we're really trying to push that, because there are so many business owners here in Atlanta. And the Commerce Club is the place to be. It is so awesome. If you've never been there, you can't wait to get there on April the 28th. There are serious-minded people there paying top dollars to be members, and they're networking, and they're taking their business to the next level.
Beautiful.
So, it is.
It's
so
gorgeous.
What we're doing is there's only $5 for parking. If you've been there before, you know it takes more than $5 to park at the Commerce Club. They're supplying the hors d'oeuvres, and if you get anything to drink from Coke or whatever, you pay for that. But it's a great networking opportunity. Starting at 5:30 on Tuesday, April 28th, and we are really pushing. Now, they will only let us bring 100 people in, but imagine 100
people. So
people
better
their
get
businesses.
There early.
Yes, yes. Be there at 5:30.
I know I'll be leaving work early that day to. I know I'll be leaving work early that day to make sure I make it. And Tanya, if you're listening to me, I know you work in the city, so you need to go to that with me on the 28th if you're in town. So I know she's going to be visiting colleges with her daughter. So and that's my friend that has her daughter has sickle cell.
Okay.
And then the Black Tie Gala. That's coming up on June 27th on Saturday from 6 to 11, celebrating families with children. And this is a formal attire only, and this is not a free event. People do need to pay, and it's definitely worth it. I was gonna say to you, and I think it's awesome, and they can get some more information on your website at winningbattlesinyourmind.org for that. But I was going to say, I think that's fantastic with what you guys really do, and that really ties into my heartstrings, because although I do, you know, I put my money where God tells me to put my money, whether that is tithing at my church or into one of my friends who happens to be out of work and needs to have a bill paid. You know, that's my inner circle and people that I know. And I know that when I was out of work, I wish I would have had someone when I was struggling just to pay my cell phone bill so I could get a job or my, you know, help me with my rent or something. That and if you ask any some of my close friends that I know that are actually going to trying to do something with themselves and not just looking for a handout, you know, like I definitely invest, and that's just wherever God tells me to go to put it. So the thing that you guys are doing with paying the bills and helping out families that that really need to have something paid because of the expenses that goes into covering and this disease, it's fantastic. And it's kind of, you guys are kind of like your God's place on earth for that hedge of protection and covering over these families, you know. So
exactly.
I think that's
and
awesome.
It is, and what you said, you just said, that's awesome as well, because I remember raising four children as a single parent, and it was because of friends like you, and it was because of my church and different places that really helped out when needed. So that is also what you're doing as well.
So thank you. So tell us, now I want to talk about you for a minute. We have about 10 minutes left in the show.
Okay.
And so I want to talk about you for a minute, Aretha. You are a woman that has worked for the man, I like to say, for many years. And you really went out and retired from corporate America went, and now you are working full-time in your nonprofit and have really made that transition. So what do you think gave you the strength, and why do you think you were able to go from being comfortable or accepting that paycheck to now having to truly work to eat?
Actually, and it was, oh, God, I had been contemplating and saying that I was going to do it. And, again, my driving force behind thinking about even leaving corporate America was, again, losing my son. When my son was murdered and I started to raise his son, which at the time was 8 months old, and, of course, my baby was 27. Well, she was 28.
Mm-hmm.
So when I brought that about, a lot of things in life start changing for me, and one of the things start changing is if you're going to do something, you better do it now because you don't know your time frame. My son was 30 years old, and that changed my life in a lot of ways. So I had been saying, oh, I'm going to turn my notice in on January the 5th. I'm going to take my vacation time because my husband and I, we vacation every 3 months, and I'm going to wait and take all my vacation time to get my Christmas time. Then I said, well, I'm going to wait till I'm fully vested because I had been at the company for 6 years. I just kept coming up with excuses, and that's just exactly what they was. But I was making this particular job over $500,000 a month. So if I could take those same talents that God gave me, I could take those talents and I could work to be able to help people in the community across the nation. So this particular day, they told me on a Friday, because I worked from 5 a.m. to 3, 10 hours a day, left work, picked up my grandson, came home, and started working on winning the battle. And I said, this Friday, you're going to have to start coming in at 8:30, and we would like if you could stay at 4:30. And I said, can't do that. I have a grandson. I need to leave work at 3. I need to pick him up. I live in Snellville, working in Alpharetta. If I leave home and I have to sit in the parking lot, I'm not going to leave home at 6 o'clock. So that Monday morning, I went to work. I got up about 7, had to be there at 8:30, didn't get there to 9:30. Went in, sat in my chair 5 minutes, and I just started smiling. And I said, I hear you, God. Thank you. Typed up my resignation effectively immediately, printed my time sheet, walked in and gave it to the practice manager. And I told her, thank you for 6 years of service here. It has been a joy, but I can't do this any longer. And she wanted to talk, and I said, no, we're not going to talk about it. That time is up. I got in the car, I called my husband, and I said, I quit. And he said, well, that's what you should have done a long time ago. Called one of my friends, and he's like, you have a baby. You don't have any money. You don't have a savings account. You don't have, and he was just going, the baby doesn't get Social Security. What are you going to do? And I said, God is going to sustain me.
Who said that?
A friend of mine.
Huh?
And Oh, it was
okay,
a friend of mine. And I told him, I said, God is going to sustain me to my speaking engagements. He said, Aretha. I said, well, I quit now. And right after that, Jacqueline, I got 6 speaking engagements back to back. It was so awesome.
Mm.
And I've been getting them from that. So that's aside, I'm going to work and still earn my money.
Mm.
I don't want the money from the nonprofit. That's for families. I'm still going to get up. That's why I get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and start work. That's why I host a 5:30 prayer call. That's why I host a 6:30 prayer call. That's why I host a radio program at 7 o'clock. That's why I'm in the Cobb Galloway area and anywhere, pounding the pavements at the state capitol. Everywhere I'm needed to brand myself, to put myself out there, because I'm going to earn what I bring home. And then on the nonprofit side, I'm going to be in everybody's faces. They're going to say, here she comes again. I'm just going to give her, because the scripture says keep asking. And I'm going to keep asking. And then I'm
mm-hmm.
going to take that money, and I'm going to help those families. So I'm just ecstatic where God has taken me. I thank him for the talents. I thank him for the vision. And I'm just so glad that I'm finally obedient, because a lot of times we are fearful. And I'm not a fearful person. So I don't know why I was making excuses. But I did it. And I'm so glad I did. It's been the best 18 weeks of my life. I've been had opportunity to go to hospitals, see families, talk to mothers, talk to fathers, speak at engagements. People call me at the drop of a dime, can you speak at a prayer breakfast tomorrow? I'm there. So I love it. And
mm-hmm.
I thank God for allowing me the opportunities. I thank people like you for bringing me on their shows, so I can tell people, if you want to be an entrepreneur, do it. Just do it. Put it in progress.
Mm.
Don't keep making excuses. Step out of the box. God gave you those talents. And wherever you're working at, 9 to 5, they identified those talents. They're using your talents to fulfill their vision. So take your own talents, fulfill your own vision, because God bless you with it.
Amen. Amen, sister. Aretha, I'm so happy to have you on, and I'm so glad that we're connected, and I'm looking forward to coming out to your events this year. And even though I add them in my phone and my calendar, I always forget about everything I have going on. I can only remember a week out, which is why I asked you to resend me everything, even though you've sent it to me 100 times. And I promise you that I will have paid for the Black Tie Gala by the end of this month. So
That's fine.
I'll buy my ticket for that. So I just wanted to, I'm just so glad that you came on. If you can just share with our audience, we have a couple minutes left, and you can just share with our audience how they can find out more about you, if you could, your website again, and any of your social media pages.
Okay, well, they can contact me. My email address is arethacleveland@gmail.com. Again, that's arethacleveland@gmail.com. You can find me on Facebook under Aretha Cleveland. You can find me on LinkedIn under Aretha Cleveland. My website is winningbattlesinyourmind.org. Again, that's winningbattlesinyourmind.org. I also have a new website that will be out in the next 3 days, and that website is arethacleveland.com. That will have all of my speaking engagements, all the other information that I'm doing on that side of it. And you can go to Facebook under Winning the Battles. Also, we have a Winning the Battles Facebook page. You can find me on the Google Plus. You
mm-hmm.
can find me on the Twitter, Aretha Cleveland. And within doubt, you can always Google me, Aretha Cleveland. I am all over the Internet, the things that I do all over the Internet. And I know a lot of people say you should never give out your number. My number is everywhere because I'm sincere. I don't have anything to hide. I don't have anything to fear. So if there's anyone that needs any kind of motivation, inspiration, or wants to be a part of Winning the Battles, you can always call me at 770-309-3655. Again, that is 770-309-3655. And I would love to speak with you to do whatever it is I can to help you in any type of situation.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Aretha, for coming on today. And I look forward to seeing you at your next function. And I will try to make it out on the 29th. I think I'm going to be in Texas, but I definitely will be at the one in April. So looking forward to that. And thank you so much for being an inspiration to us and letting us know if we, you know, put our faith in God and we just go forth and with our visions that anything is possible. And we look forward to having you on again here in the future.
Thank you so much, Jacqueline. You have a wonderful evening.
Thank you, you too. Bye-bye. Okay, everyone, thank you so much for calling in and listening in today. It was definitely a pleasure to have everyone on. If you called in to get questions answered, I'm sorry that we weren't able to do that. But you can definitely comment on the post on Facebook or comment here, and we can get Aretha to answer the questions that way. And you have a fantastic evening, everyone.
This has been another edition of the Connecting Atlanta Radio with your host, Jacqueline H. Waller. For more business tips and strategies, visit www.connectingatlanta.net and get connected.